So we're going to look at the scriptures. So let's look at verse. We're going to pick up at, start at verse 9, but we're going to actually pick up at verse 18. So look at verse 9. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. And we're going to start at verse 9. It goes on, he says, and also Jesus spoke this parable to some who were trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, he stood afar off, and I can probably relate to that, standing far off. He said he would not even as much raise an eyebrow to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. For I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And then all of a sudden it changes to verse 15. He says, and then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. And assuredly I say to you that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. So it's a really a beautiful story here in verse 15. Again, they brought the infants to so that he can touch them and bless them. But then also the disciples, they got in between Jesus and these little children, and they start to rebuke them. So, and Jesus, of course, he just got done dealing with grown-ups, right, with a bunch of big babies in their issues. And all of a sudden, they bring them little babies. They bring the little babies to them. Now, in Matthew's gospel, Mark's gospel, they tell us that they brought the little children to Jesus so that he can touch them or he can bless them. But again, here we go. I like to bring out points. I want you to notice 3 points here so that we can learn from this account of the little children, okay? So that's why I tell you ladies, okay, bust up your package there. Pull out your little notebook and take some notes here. And for you guys who have a good memory, put it in your mind, okay? You don't take notes. You're like me. I don't take notes. I remember everything, you know, just, you know. Yeah, right, huh? Yeah, I forgot where I put my tie check. Okay, first point. Here's the first point. The children who were brought there were most likely brought by their parents. And even though it doesn't tell us that, but most likely it was their parents who brought their children to him. And these children were probably the children of those parents who had seen or who had heard Jesus before, or maybe even been blessed by Jesus themselves. And probably because they were touched by Jesus, they wanted their children to be touched and blessed by Jesus as well. And this is important because this shows us how important it is for us as parents or us as grandparents to be exposed and to serve and to have this devotion and this relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. To be touched by the Word of God and by Jesus himself, so that we can bring our children and our grandchildren to be touched by Christ as well. I was blessed to see Misty up here singing. And was that awesome? That's awesome. You know, it's exciting. And it just motivates me to want to get involved more. And that's the whole purpose, as she takes that step of faith, that you'll see that and maybe say, man, if Pastor Steve can be up there teaching, well, I want to do a Bible study, or I want to teach, or if Misty's up there singing, I want to get up there and sing. Guys, get involved. Do it. If God's speaking to you, go for it. But that's the first point there, is the fact that the parents brought their children because why? Because they were touched by Jesus themselves, and how important it is that we serve and be exposed and have that devotion and relationship with the Lord. And then secondly, the children were brought to Jesus for what? For him to touch them and bless them. I mean, this is how, again, how much, how important it is that we bring our children. Why? Because we care for them. They cared for their children. They loved their children so much that, and they knew that the most important thing for their children was what? To be brought before Jesus, to be touched by Him. I mean, that's the reason why the Lord gave you children in the first place. Why? Because they're His. And He says, I want you to raise them up in My ways. And they knew it. That's the most important thing. They had this experience with Jesus. So, hey, I got to get my children there so they can be blessed as well. They had the faith to believe that if they can get to Jesus and if Jesus touched their children, listen, they'll be blessed throughout their lives. I mean, think about when you first accepted the Lord and how you have been blessed ever since, right? I hope you have. I mean, not that you've been perfect. Not that you everything has been hunky-dory. But I have been blessed ever since Jesus touched my life. I have been blessed ever since. Amen. And they knew the same thing, that if they were blessed by Jesus, that their children will be blessed throughout their lives. But they had to be brought to Jesus because obviously they were unable to come to Jesus by themselves. And this is what leads us to Proverbs 22, verse 6. Who's sharp without looking? What does it say? Thank you. Yeah. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So it commands us that to train a child to walk in the way of godly living. We're commanded to do that. And when they're old, they won't turn away from it. And I think Proverbs 22 verse 6 is probably the best well-known proverb that deals with raising up children in the Lord. Yeah, but... Okay, and I throw that in there because as parents and grandchildren, as parents and grandparents, I now, as a grandparent, I now see how Proverbs can be misunderstood or misinterpreted the wrong way by a parent. And what I mean by this, when you read Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it's really considered a simple truth, and that is, okay, you're a parent, you're commanded, you're responsible to teach and to discipline your children, to teach them what at the beginning of life. That's what we're called to do, to lead them in that straight and narrow path of what? Right living. And when they get older, they will not be able to depart from that training that we do give them. Now listen, the word way in Proverbs 22, verse 6, it's the Hebrew word for derech. Okay, it's a word that's used repeatedly throughout Proverbs. And the word indicates that there is a chosen path of life for the child of God. Now, that covers not only the little children, but it covers teenagers, and it covers us adults as well. And you have to remember that there's only two paths that we can go down, okay? And Proverbs mentions those two paths. The first path is the path of righteousness, and of wisdom that leads to what? Life. And then the next path, the other path, is the path of wickedness and foolishness that what? Leads to death. It's only two paths. The path that leads to life and the path that leads to death. That's what Proverbs teaches. So there is a right way, the way that a child should go, and that's the way of righteousness. Would you agree? Okay. Now, how many of you parents here, you have children who you led down that right path, but as they grew up, as they grew older, they walked away from that path. Think about it. Okay. That's why when we hold on to this Proverbs that we understand what it really means, okay? What is it really teaching? Now, as a parent, again, we are to raise them up in the ways of the Lord. That means their teaching starts at the moment that they are conceived in their mother's womb. Good example, Chuck Smith. His mom used to read the gospel, sing worship songs, pray to Chuck while he was in her womb. That's when it started. She was covering him with prayer, and look what happened. That's when it starts. We need to do that too. You need to start right away. That's the path to righteousness, praying for them and reading to them in the womb, because their training begins in the early years of their little lives, guys. So the part where Proverbs tells us that a child will never leave or depart is referring to that early training given to them by their parents. You know, they say that if you don't reach your son or your daughter by the time they turn 8, you're going to lose them. And Proverbs tells us that we have to reach them at the moment they're conceived, the moment they are born. And many parents, you know, they pour into them at a young age. But many of them, many parents, when they see their sons and daughters going down that other path, they tend to blame God, or they're disappointed in God, or even they question His word. Because why? They haven't taken this Proverbs in its entire context, I believe. And that is, if you train your child in the ways of the Lord, your child will never stray from the path of righteousness. Because that's it. But that's not meaning, the meaning of this Proverbs is that we are responsible to start our children on that path, that right path. Even in the Old Testament, it clearly teaches that every individual has to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. The question is when the little babies or the little children are at that age of accountability? But there comes a time that you can raise them up in the ways of the Lord, but there comes a time when they're going to grow to the point where they're going to have to make that choice for themselves. Again, when a child reaches that age, they have to choose what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, where He says, "Enter the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Everyone has to choose to take that right path or to get off that right path. And if you raise your children in life and you teach them godly morals and you teach them the Word of God, children who are taught the right way by godly parents can never completely depart from that training. They might sometimes choose not to live by it, but they can't get away from it entirely because why? You instilled that teaching in them. And I really believe when you instill it in them as little children, it's permanently written on their hearts and in their minds. Amen. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're told that He will bring those teachings into remembrance as they get older. They can't lead that teaching completely because it's instilled in them. Even when they get old, they will remember what their parents taught them. I think of my son. When he turned 18, he told me he's going to do whatever he wants. Well, obviously not under my roof, you aren't. So he moved out. But I always remember his testimony. When he got up and he shared his testimony with the youth, he said, "I wish I would have listened to my parents when they told me when I lived under the roof." Why? Because that teaching, it's instilled in it. It was instilled with them. It's there, written on the heart. And the time will come when the Holy Spirit will bring it out and bring it into their lives. So as a parent, we teach our children to live righteously, do that right thing, to live righteously. Righteously, again, it's instilled in them, and it'll stay with them their entire life. So even when we see children of godly parents choosing the wrong path, they usually return to the right teaching of their parents in the later years. This to what there's a sister here. When I was a youth pastor, when I taught the youth group for a long time, we had over 30 youth here. And a lot of them didn't even have parents who were Christians, and they didn't even come to church. They came to the youth group. But this one parent came to me, and she told me, "Hey, Pastor Steve, if you don't raise my son up in the ways of the Lord, I'm going to take him somewhere else." And so I told her, I said, "Hey, I only have your child one day a week." I told her, "It's not my job to raise him up in the ways of the Lord. My job is to teach and to disciple them. That's your job." And obviously her children didn't walk in the ways of the Lord. Why? Because obviously she didn't instill that in them at younger years of their life. And you know, and there are some parents, guys, listen, if you're a parent, listen to this, write it down, because as a parent, some parents give their children the choice to go or not to go to church or walk with the Lord. Right now, we're even in a generation where they're teaching their child to decide whether they want to be a boy or a girl, let alone come to church. I was upset when one parent told me, yeah, I give them the choice to decide whether they want to go or not. We're not called to give them a choice. We are called to raise them up in the ways of the Lord, not give them a choice. Even at the age of 18 or an adult and they live under your roof, they still have to follow your ways. They still have to follow your rules and regulations. They are adults. But as long as they're under your roof, the Bible says children obey your parents, no matter, doesn't say what age. So if you're a son or a daughter, you still have to obey your parent. Respect them. Take care of them even when they get old. That's what they did back in the older days. Their parents didn't have Social Security or any help. The children would take care of their parents. Not no more. It's easier to just put them in an old folks home. And it's so sad if you go to those homes and you see some of the old people there. Never, their kids never come to see them. It's so sad. Man, that's why I'm just going to do the Moses death. And Moses' death is, I'm just going to drive out to the desert, get out and just walk out into the desert, okay? But my luck, I'll probably get picked up by the Border Patrol and brought back. Then I'm going to start all over again. Don't give your child a choice, okay? You are called to raise them up. And if you're called to raise them up, listen, Ephesians chapter 6, 4, listen to what I'm saying here for parents, for fathers and mothers and grandparents and those of you who have influences on little children. It says, fathers, do not irritate or provoke your children to anger, but rear them up tenderly in the training and the discipline of the counsel and admonition of the Lord. We're called to do that. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, you know how when you were a small child, you were taught the Holy Scriptures. And it is this that you make your wise makes you wise to accept God's salvation by trusting in Christ Jesus. What you teach them. What was it that changed your life? What was it that saved you is what's going to save them. And that is Jesus Christ. As a parent or as a grandparent, You want your children to be blessed. Romans chapter 2, verse 21 tells us, Paul said, you therefore who teach another, do you teach yourself? There's nothing worse when a father tells a child, you don't do that. Do what I say, but don't do what I do. Don't do that drug, but he's back there doing the drug. And they know it. I've seen it many times. Do you teach yourself? You have to grow in Christ as a parent. We have to grow in Christ. We have to get involved. We have to bring our children to Jesus to be touched by him and to get blessed. Because the touch of Jesus is very powerful. Look at your own life. Look at what he did when Jesus touched your life. And he'll do the same for the children. And then thirdly, write it down. Was the disciples and what they did here. Very important, okay? Listen, what did they do here? They rebuked the parents, right? Why? Because they try to keep them from bringing their children to Jesus to be blessed. Now, maybe they felt Jesus was overwhelmed or maybe he was just too tired to deal with little children. So the disciples, they made two mistakes. Write them down. The two mistakes was what? Trying to stop the children from coming to Jesus. The first mistake, by trying to keep the parents from bringing their children to be blessed by Jesus, they were the ones who were determining who could and who could not come to Jesus to be blessed by him. They were determining that. No one has the right or the responsibility to determine that. Amen. Not one of us. To be touched by Jesus? Especially when you have God's word that says differently, like 2 Peter 3:9, where he says that the Lord is very concerning. He keeps his promises, and he's not slacking off. He's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all shall come to repentance. So no man has the right to dictate who can and who cannot be touched by Jesus. The second mistake the disciples did is, first of all, they didn't see the importance of the touch of Jesus there, even for a little child. As far as they felt that the blessing and the power of God wasn't for everyone, obviously, or that not everyone can get saved, because in the beginning they felt that they felt that way about the Romans, and they felt that way about the Gentiles. In fact, many of the rabbis taught that the Gentiles were brought by God to keep the fires of hell burning. Can you imagine that? You were placed here to keep the fires of hell burning. Isaiah chapter 51 verse 1 tells us, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear." I mean, you believe that? Obviously, because look at yourself. Seriously, the Lord's arm wasn't short enough that he could not save you. Or he couldn't save me, the worst of the worst. Chuck Smith said that no one should ever be stopped or discouraged from coming from being brought to Jesus. And he really believed that by faith. And look what happened to the Calvary Chapel movement. When the church was keeping the hippie movement out of the church, those who were lost, Chuck brought them in and had one of the biggest mega churches around in the country. I mean, he had, I think it was over 35,000 people at one time in his church. That's a lot of people. Can you imagine trying to fit 35 people here in this building? You know how many service I would have to do? Yeah, I would probably have to do one the whole week, a service every week, all day long. Besides, look what Jesus said in verse 16. He said, "But Jesus called them to his disciples, say, hey, let the children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God." Jesus wanted to receive the little children. He called them to himself personally, because that's the type of relationships that Jesus is always looking for, right? That personal relationship. I mean, isn't that the type of relationship that you have with him? Amen. Some of you do, I guess. Do you guys have that personal relationship with him? I know I do. And Jesus, he gives us two good reasons why he wanted the children to come to him. Okay, get ready to write it down. The first one, because it's God who formed them in their mother's womb. I mean, this is interesting. I mean, it's awesome how we were made in the image of God, right? God is the one who establishes a relationship with us, with the children, from the very beginning. And I want you to listen to this relationship that the Lord established with our children, with us. It started in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Write it down. It says, "Just as he has chosen us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And he predestined us as adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure of his will, to the praises of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." Jesus chose you before the foundation of the world existed. Jesus chose the little children before the foundation of the world even existed, before you even were thought of, before my parents were born, before their parents were born, before their parents were born, Jesus knew me. That's where it began. And then David said in Psalms 139:13, he told the Lord, "Hey, you formed me in my inner parts. You covered me in my mother's womb, and I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." So from before the world existed, before the children existed, God knew them. And then what did he do? God formed a child in their mother's womb. I mean, that's one of the greatest miracles of all. And David, he glorified God, because why? God put him together, every detail of his life was this miracle process from conception all the way to birth. And God's creation of each and every one of us, guess what it shows? It shows us that he knows everything about us, and that explains why he's always with us. He knows everything about us. He's always there with us. And he has a very powerful purpose for our lives and his plan for each and every one of us. You know, it's powerful because why? We are his workmanship for good works, and that's why we should give him thanks continuously. That's why David did. So from before the world existed to being knitted in the mother's womb, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Solomon said, guys, remember now the Creator in the day of your youth before the difficult day comes and the year draws near when you say, I have no pleasure in them while the sun in the light is up. Listen to what John Corson said. I like what he said about Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. He said this, the word translated remember, it doesn't mean to daydream or to reminisce, but rather it's an action word that literally means to act, decisively. Thank you. You know, isn't that funny? I was decisively. Then I get up there, you know. And he goes on and said, that's why throughout the Bible, when God says, I will remember you, he's not merely saying that you're on my mind, but I will act decisively on your behalf. So he's gonna act on your behalf. That's what he's saying. And Solomon is saying, act decisively and radically towards your Creator in the day when you're young, because the harder days are coming. So, you know, it tells me as a teenager, God knew me as a young man. I mean, that's when I was witness to when I was in the seventh grade. That's the first time I heard somebody share Christ with me in Mission Valley when I was in the seventh grade. And then Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, listen, this is the example that not only for young people, but for us older people as well. He says, Let no one despise your youth, but be an example of a believer in word and conduct and love, spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading and exhortation, to doctrine. And do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy of the laying of hands on the leadership. And meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. And take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, and continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Isn't that beautiful? A young man. I love to see young men and women serving God. It's amazing. When you can tell when they have a relationship with the Lord. And then in Psalms 119, verse 9, David jumped in on it again. He says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word of God. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments, and let the word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. And with my lips I have declared all your judgments of a youth, and I have rejoiced in your testimonies. As much as the riches, I will meditate on your precepts and on your ways. And then in Titus chapter 2, verse 1, now it jumps, okay, from before the world existed, God knew me as before I was even conceived. And then as a baby, he knitted us in our womb, mother's womb. And then as a child, you know, we walked in his way. As a young adult, we walked in his way. In Titus chapter 2, verse 1, it says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. So God who planned the miracle of life, he established it for us to grow from a little child to a teenager to an adult. And it's God who orders our steps of this stage of a person's life when it comes to maturing and growing old. And so that's why he said, bring them to me. Because why? He cares for them. He knew them. Hey, you're that child there that you're bringing to, don't stop him, because I knew him even before he existed. The second reason is why? Because Jesus is what? What is Jesus? Besides, yeah, he's Lord. Not the word I'm looking for, but come on, starts with an L. Love. That's why he said, don't stop him. Because why? Jesus is love. And because he is love, he loves what? Everyone. And he cares for everyone, no matter how small, how big they are. He doesn't matter your size, your age, your looks or appearances, your abilities or your shortcomings. Jesus is love. And he loves every person, even if that person is only a little baby. Like, listen to that little child. You know what makes me think of, what is that little child thinking about when it's sleeping? What is God? I feel like God is ministering to that child, speaking to that child, preparing that child for when it comes a teenager, when it comes an adult. But Jesus is love, even if the person is a little baby who has to be brought to him for a blessing. They brought this child here. He's getting the word of God. Just like we are. And some of you cry about it too, just like that little child. You know? Yeah, you know, we say, hurry up. I want to go eat. See, that child wants to eat. I want to eat. Okay. So, look at verse 16. So, Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them. For what? For of such is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven belongs to the little children. Why? Because they don't have to work at making themselves worthy of it. They're always going to be received and be blessed by Jesus. And they don't have to earn it. Plate, who's a great Bible scholar, he said, not only did Jesus welcome these little human beings as members of the kingdom of God, but he also exalted them as a model citizen of the same, because their capacity to trust and to love. They're the example, a little child. So little children are in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said that the little children are in the hands and the care of God. And God's looking after the little children. And he's loving, he's caring for them. And when they reach to that point of accountability, when they're able to make their own decisions to accept them or to reject them, what is instilled in them by their parents about Jesus will still be there. I'm trying to remember. I didn't actually accept Christ until I was 18. But all my children were raised up in the ways of the Lord. I took them on every missions trip, every function that we did. I got them involved. I got pictures of them involved in missions in Mexico, Ukraine, Africa, other places that they were involved in as my sons and daughters. And now look it. They did have to build their own testimony, just like we all. And they did lean towards, you know, the temptations of the world. But they're all serving the Lord. And all my grandchildren are serving the Lord. I had Gia up here sharing scripture. And now I got Emilio, the youngest, and I'm praying and talking to him about the Lord so that he'll be instilled in him. Why? Because Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 tells us that how we are always to obey God. And not only in Paul said, not only my presence, but how much more am I absent? How we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And if you think about it, you know what? The little children, the little precious babies, they do possess those traits that are existing in heaven as we speak. Why? Because they're totally depending. They're totally trusting. They know little about taking care of themselves. Emilio, he can't do nothing. He just sits there. He's like, even his head is like. So you have to hold him right, because if you don't, his head will go back. And he don't got a neck either. So they say he looks like me because he doesn't have a neck. They don't know anything about taking care of themselves. A little baby trusts in anyone who can hold him in their arms. They haven't learned the fear of the world yet. Everyone's a friend. They have no enemies, no or strangers. They don't know. And it's said that a child usually responds and is submissive, and a child responds to an adult, and he will come, he will go, he will be picked up and do whatever is suggested to him, and he will drop whatever he's doing, surrender whatever he's occupied, that's occupying his thoughts and behavior in response to anybody, because they don't know. A child usually is obedient and learning, and he will do exactly what he's asked to do and learn by it. He has not yet learned too much pride nor the act of too much independence, not while small and innocent. The terrible tragedy is he is soon taught to be self-centered and prideful and independent just by the example of adults. So what the child sees mommy and daddy do, that's what the child will do. They'll do the same thing. And Jesus goes on and he tells us, look at verse 17. He says, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." I mean, Jesus, he is using some strong words about someone who, you know, who will not be able to enter the kingdom of heaven here. Some persons will not by no means enter into it. Guys, there's nothing you can do to get into the kingdom of heaven except receiving the kingdom like a little child. We're talking totally dependent on what Jesus did at the cross like a little child. Totally dependent on his parents. Matthew 18, verse 3. Matthew said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like a little like little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one of these little children like in this in my name receives me." John jumped on it. John chapter 1, verse 12. He says, "But as many has received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, and those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of men, but of God." Paul got on it in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. He said, "Come out from among them, be separated, saith the Lord, and don't touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Look what it says in verse 16. Jesus said, "Hey, let the children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God." Like a little child. I love holding my little grandson because he just stares. He just, that's all he does. He can't talk. He cries, but he can't talk a lot. You know, and I'm always talking about the Lord. I'm always saying little prayers to him. And he just stares at you. And then when he's done, he wants to eat, he cries. I'm going to read this poem for you moms. And then I'm going to let you guys go and enjoy. It's called A Mother's Poem. It's written by a woman by the name of Reva Miller. And it goes like this. It's called A Mother's Secret for Success. "When in the morning when I wash my children, I pray that they might be washed by the Savior's precious blood. When I put their garments on, I pray that they might be arrayed by the garments of salvation in the robe of God's righteousness. When I give them food, I pray that they might be fed with the bread of life. And when I start them on the road to school, I pray that their faith might be a shining light brighter and brighter to the perfect day. When I put them to sleep, I pray that they might be enfolded in the Savior's everlasting arms. It is unselfish love of a mother and the concern of her children's well-being that causes prayer to be answered. A godly mother's prayer for her children has a special place in heaven." And that's what Jesus is talking about. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word, Lord. And I want to be the best example to my children and to my grandchildren and to my wife and to my family, as everybody here. We want to be that example. We want to bring our families to Jesus so they can be touched, so they can be blessed, because you love them, Lord. You knew us before the foundation of the world even existed. And you knitted us in our mother's womb. You said you knitted us, and you knitted us perfectly, that we were knitted perfectly in our mother's womb. And then you said, don't suffer the little children, come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And you tell us that we are not to forget the God of our youth. And then how shall young man cleanse his way? We become young men and women. How shall we cleanse our way? By taking heed to the word of God. And then you tell us as older men and women how we have to be that example to the younger people. So you got our lives are all planned out by you, Father. And there's two paths. And we either going to go down the right path, or we're going to choose to go down the wrong path. It's our choice. You gave us a choice. But you desire to come unto you. You desire us to learn of you, to take your yoke upon us, so that we can find rest for our souls. And so, Father, today as moms all over are being honored, we pray that you bless them, Father, that their children will rise up and call them blessed. Bless the rest of our day, Lord, and as we worship, if there's anybody here this morning that needs prayer, maybe you're missing your mom or your dad. My mom is in heaven. My dad's in heaven. I miss him, but I'm going to see him again. And maybe you're struggling with that. You need prayer. Or maybe as a mom, you want prayer to be the best mom you can be. I told my dad I'm going to be a better dad than him. And I told my son to be a better dad than me. And he'll tell his son, he'll pass that down. You be a better son than I was, a better dad than I was. You're the best dad, the best example. And if there anybody here that needs prayer, I'll anoint you with oil and we'll pray. So, Father, as we worship again, thank you for being allowing us to be sons and daughters of our loving Heavenly Father. And you'll always be there for us. Bless the moms today, Lord. Bless our children. Bless our grandchildren. The ones who are not walking with you, Father, what was instilled in them in their early years, let the Holy Spirit bring it into remembrance in the time when needed. Bring them back, Lord. And we thank you and we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.